You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Wayne's going to be out this week, but we have some exciting guests for you. And our first guest, he's already here with us, so we appreciate him being with us. You know, from time to time, folks, we have MMA fighters come onto the show, and they talk about their experiences. And I'm excited to talk to this young man, and you guys are here to see, you know, probably one of the great fighters of the future that is yet to come. He's a young man based out of Northern California. And we have Shaylor Ladd with us. Shaylor, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man. No, but my pleasure. Our pleasure here as well. So I guess, you know, kind of start with what we'll talk about your sister and family in a minute, but kind of what got you interested in MMA and kind of walk us through your experiences so far.
Well, what really got me interested in it, it was a family affair growing up. It was kind of like my, being homeschooled, it was one of my real only times to go out and socialize with people.
Wow. Okay.
And from there, it just evolved.
It just evolved. Okay. So how long have you been in training for fighting? How many years has it been now? I missed that. How long have you been in training, Shaylor?
I started training karate when I was 11, and I picked up MMA when I was 14.
Okay, and how old are you now?
I'm currently 19, almost 20, so that's about 6 to 7 years almost.
That's really good. That's really good. So here we go.
Hi, sorry, I had some technical difficulties there.
Okay, Aspen, how's it going? I'm Bruce,
fantastic.
Welcome to the show. Fantastic to have you on. And we're just talking to Shaylor, kind of talking about what got him started into training and karate. And there you go. And MMA.
Okay.
So real good. So Shaylor, so you're saying you were homeschooled and then going to training was a way to get out and be with other, you know, almost socialize, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of my one window out into life at the time. Okay. So I stay in that house.
Okay. And you said it was kind of a family affair as well. So was Aspen kind of training there at the same time you were? And
so Aspen, she was always training and training at her place. Every now and again, I'd go down there, or she would be driving me, drop me off on her way to practice to my original karate dojo. And then it kind of evolved to where once I got my black belt in karate, I just wanted to do more. So I ended up riding with her to training most days.
Okay. Okay. So what is your favorite form these days, or what are your favorite skills that you have?
The skill that's probably suited me the best lately has definitely been my wrestling.
I was going to say that, but yes, wrestling, that's good from what I've seen. So, well, tell us about these championships that you just won here recently, Shaylor.
Yeah, I just won the California State 205 light heavyweights title and the 5150 light heavyweight title about 2 weeks ago in Livingston.
Okay. Well, congratulations, man. I know you've worked super hard for it. And how do you feel?
Feel great. Just looking forward to the next one.
Aspen, how do you feel about your brother and his progress in his fight skills?
I am super happy for him, and I know he's going to keep progressing and doing well, but I hate watching it. It's horrible.
What, just because of the whole coaching aspect of it, or just to – is it out of perfectionism or out of care and concern and fear, or what?
Honestly, I think it's more the last one because I feel like I'm going to throw up every single time. It's really, really hard. Like, for me personally, fighting, not hard. But watching somebody I care about fight, it's horrible because you have no control. It's completely out of your scope of doing anything.
Right. So you're at the mercy of what's going to happen and just have to deal with it, I guess.
Yeah. Not fun.
Have you ever watched a fight where Shayla was injured? Have you ever had that experience already? Or?
Oh, this last one was great. So he got his ass completely whooped for the first round, and then he came back and beat the guy up the second two.
Okay.
And I wanted to vomit the whole time. His very first fight was very similar. He's very resilient and skilled, but he puts me through too much stress.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. Well, he certainly... You know, he certainly looks like a natural out there, as far as I'm concerned, you know, and it's really great that you guys, you know, have this as a family, as a piece of your relationship, as brother and sister, and have that as a part of your closeness. I say that, is that a part of your closeness, or is it something maybe because you both are mixed martial artists that it kind of causes a little friction sometimes? What are your thoughts?
No, I definitely wouldn't say that.
Good.
I don't particularly like that kid anyway, but no, I don't think it causes any friction. If anything, it's just another talking point, a thing to discuss and improve upon.
Okay. And so now, you know, here's some of the questions that I know that, you know, people would ask you. So we'll get that part. So Aspen, you know, you've had and still has a strong professional career, moving into a new league and everything, in a new weight class and all that stuff. But before we get into that, now that you've been where you are, what kinds of things would you tell your brother, or are you telling your brother now to watch out for because you've kind of cut that path, you know?
He just needs to keep showing up and keep improving. For Shayla, the opportunities are all there. Everybody wants them already. But it's not going too fast before you're ready. It's becoming a complete fighter and becoming a professional fighter, but at the right pace.
Right.
And not rushing things and just getting into it before you're necessarily ready.
Okay. What do you think about that, Shayla?
I'm trying my hardest to follow through with that.
Why? Because you think you're ready right now, or what's the?
No, I'm trying to find the tough opponents to keep going at it. It's just hard getting them.
Okay.
There.
So it's kind of hard to find somebody to stand in the ring with you, huh?
Yes. Almost every one of my fights, I'll have probably a couple of changes right leading up to it.
Okay.
I've only had, I think, two fights that have stayed in it the entire, like, they've stayed for the whole process all the way to the fight.
Okay. So, and you're 19 years old, what would be the next progression for you? What would be the next league or venues that you would fight in? What are some of the next levels ahead of you, you think?
I'll probably have a few more fights as an amateur, and when I go pro, I'll probably float around a little bit before I sign for anything. Whatever my coaches are kind of really think is a good idea too.
Okay. Now I didn't remember everything on Sure Dog Aspen, but I know you were fighting, you know, pretty young. How old were you when you turned pro, Aspen?
I was 3 days from turning 20. So okay. I was 19, but it was just barely. I turned 20 literally like the day after I fought.
Okay. So basically about the same age as Shayla is now.
Yes.
Okay.
Very similar. Yeah. The only difference is he ended up going, starting fighting during COVID. So he had more trouble getting fights initially. So it's kind of like a catch up period for that almost.
Okay. Is there some sort of a, When is it? Ask us. When is it the time to go pro? What's that line that you cross from being a super good amateur to going pro? Is there what are some of the things that you have to either achieved or offers that you have? What are some elements between amateur and pro?
And a lot of it's
go ahead.
A lot of it's the awareness. So you're a baby fighter when you start amateur, and as you progress, you're gaining skills, you're getting experience. But it's the awareness of everything in the fight and the ability to process that, besides everything like traveling and just becoming a pro fighter. So it's really improving your game, getting the toughest opponents you can, and then fighting for the best amateur promotions before you go pro. I would like to see him at Tough Enough soon, but because that's was my last amateur fight, and they're very good. But there's also new promotions that weren't around when I was coming up, like A1's fantastic. Right. And there's a couple others that are throwing really, really good AMI shows now. But it's like you're just trying to get the best possible fights to really test yourself out before it really matters. Obviously, amateurs matter, but pro is a whole different kind of matter.
Okay. So there's still some things, like you said, there's some other venues in a perfect world, you know, from Aspen's point of view, right? There's still some more fights, some more venues, a little bit more awareness, and he's getting closer to becoming pro, but he just has a little bit longer as an amateur, you think?
Yes, I think he's going to go all the way and do fantastic, but
absolutely.
A few more pro, or not pro fights, amateur fights, and I would start sticking him in every single jiu-jitsu tournament I could find, but that's just me, and he would have to, you know, listen and do it.
How do you feel about your jiu-jitsu, Shayler? Is that something that, I know you love wrestling, but feel like you want to go some of these BJJ tournaments, bigger ones?
Yes, I feel it would help my game out a good deal. My grappling standpoint is largely wrestling based with minimal amount of subs. So it would definitely help me out as far as learning how to piece things together a little better on the ground.
Okay, well, that's good. So it sounds like you're open to that and willing to step out into that field, even though it's probably not your...
Sorry, what was that?
I'm back. So even though it's not your forte, you're willing to get out there and
yeah, I'm down to do as much as I can to help improve my skills.
Excellent. So, well, that's really good. So, oh man, so many questions for Aspen, you know, but it is a family show. But I guess what your transition from UFC to PFL, I guess we'll start with this. Now, I understand that PFL has a new weight class for them. Is that correct?
It is, yeah. And right about the time where I was basically done with the UFC is when they were trying to start this weight class. So me becoming a free agent at that time was really advantageous for both of us.
Right. And folks, you know, I've been talking to some potential sponsors for Aspen and everything. And so... this is great. Aspen is scheduled to fight Thanksgiving weekend, right? Which is their end of the season tournament, right?
Yeah, no, it's their biggest fight of the year. I was amazed because this all happened very, very quickly. And then they had a slot open up on that card. It's like, this is fantastic.
It is. And then, you know, so folks that can they're interested in sponsorship, get a hold of myself or Aspen or Jim West, and that's good because then whoever sponsors you now gets the first, you know, first right of refusal or some of that for the next season. So I think that's good that you're coming in. I have a question about your opponent. What's Bud? What's your first name? Is it Juliana or what?
It's Julia.
Bud. Yeah. Now, he was supposed to fight Kayla Harrison in the summer, but that didn't work. Or do you know anything about that? Or
I think she got injured. Something must have happened because I remember she was scheduled for that fight, but the fight never took place. And I think it was an injury that took her out, but I can't confirm it.
But Kayla's in a weight class. Is she in your weight class or weight class bigger?
So she's. The weight class they currently have is 155, and that's basically exists because of Kayla not wanting to cut weight. But We'll see if that weight class sticks around or what they're going to do with it, because most of the 55ers are 45ers. So we'll see if they drop. We'll see if they keep both. Okay. But yes, right now she's a 155er. So.
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking, she's like Shaylor. She needs to have people stand in the ring with her, right? But you know, that's kind of some tumbleweeds blowing if there's not a lot of fires in that division, right?
Oh, well, that's been discussed already, but it depends on where she's at in her contracting career, and we'll see if that fight materializes eventually.
Yeah. How do you feel? Of course, Bud is, you know, has former champion, Bellator, right? Fought Cyborg, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of experience there. How do you feel about would there be a possibility you try to fight Kayla Harrison if I know there'd have to be some movement, but.
If that fight was to occur, it would definitely be her and the PFL deciding what they want to do with her future.
Sure.
But yeah, and I don't know if it would be at 155, it'd be 45, if it'd be a catch weight of like 150, I don't know. Because that's not what's really on the table right now. Has it been discussed briefly? Sure. But right now she has a fight that night, I have a fight that night, and we got to see what happens next.
For sure. Kind of transitioning from UFC to PFL, don't know what to ask her, but tell me about, educate our viewers on PFL a little bit, right? I mean, it's Professional Fighters League. Obviously fights are going to be on ESPN, right? So kind of educate our listeners about PFL and what that is. As a franchise, I guess, if you can. Well, it looks like we might have lost her. Aspen, are you still there? All right. Well, she's gone. Shaylor, can you still hear me, brother?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Tell us how you feel about your sister's upcoming fight here Thanksgiving weekend. What are some of the thoughts you have about her new environment?
She seems really happy about it, and I'm excited to watch it. It's it sounds like it's going to be a good fight coming up too. Terrified as always to have her fighting though.
Just, right.
Yeah, see anyone you like or you know that you care about fight is always going to be like that.
Right. It's that's kind of the, do you feel the similar way about your teammates, or I guess it's just one step level when it's a family member, right?
There, I do feel similar to when it's my teammates fighting, but it's a bit up there when it's also Aspen too.
Right. So what'd you think about what we were saying earlier and what Aspen was saying earlier about, you know, getting some more fights, different venues, work on BJJ and then the awareness issue. Let's talk about the awareness issue. What do you think that meant to you about increasing awareness? What does that mean to you?
Just more fights, since not freezing or noticing little changes when you're actually going through the fight at the high pace. At least that's what I think it meant.
Right. No.
Yeah. Being able to notice the small changes when you're going through and fast scrambles or in heated striking exchanges.
Okay. In some of your fights that you've had recently, has that need to develop your jiu-jitsu, has that kind of come up in some fights? Or training recently, like, dang, man, I better, you know, I'll learn more about this. Has that been a challenge?
No, it's just been something I've been working with everything, just making it to where I'm not so heavily orientated on the wrestling.
Okay. Back.
Going into grappling exchanges.
Okay. So sorry, phone overheated.
Oh, that's okay. Okay. Glad you're back. So we were talking. We were just kind of talking more about developing more awareness, changes within the fight, And then, like you said, the continued work on the BJJ or the jiu-jitsu aspect for Shaler. And he was saying that he feels the same way, right? When you fight, when he's watching you fight, he's...
Well, at least he also feels more. That's only fair.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But so before we got caught off or whatever, I ask you to kind of explain to our listeners, you're the first PFL person on the show. We've had bare knuckle folks and UFC folks. What can you kind of share with our listeners and viewers about that franchise and how it's similar, how it's different, anything that you want to say about it?
It's very different from most of the other platforms out there right now in that they do a season. And that hasn't been seen in MMA before. Like, we're on call 24/7. I could fight at any point, any time. It's been that way for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But PFL, you know exactly when you're going to fight. You know when the season starts. And it's really, really neat because there's no guessing game there. Like, I love that. And then there's the fact that you have your contracted rates that you'd be fighting at, period. But at these contracted rates, when you're in the tournament, you're making what you make in any other organization. But you're building towards $1 million. And it's the potential to make so much money on top of what you'd be making anyway. It's incredible.
And how is that money? Is that the more you win, the more you get toward that big prize you said? Or how is it like a stacking effect?
It is. So you'll have like your contracted rates, and there'll be four fights in the tournament. Your first two, normal contracted rates. Third one, normal. And the last one, let's say you're contracted at 50, you'll be fighting. So usually that's like 51, 50 show if you're contracted at 50. If you get into that last fight and you win it, you're showing for 50 and then you're winning 950.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's an extreme amount of money, and that's what draws a lot of people to it and why certain athletes are like really testing their options now. But the first thing that hooked me was definitely the seasonal platform, just knowing when you're going to fight and everything around that. That's a huge thing.
Right. I know I've talked to other fighters in other leagues. Even some, I'll say women fighters, obviously. And I'll say, man, I got to wait 6 months before I fight. Right. And I got to go back. Yeah. I got to go back to my day job, whether it was waiting tables or what, you know, whatever it was, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever their job was, waiting for that next fight. And so it sounds like with this franchise, you're able to fight enough, and then you have the gains. That is a more global, satisfactory experience that you can just focus on your fighting and not have to go back to some other deal to survive.
Very much so.
I kind of knew that, but I didn't. But now that you're saying it, right? And you're saying, mm-hmm. I fight here, and then it goes up. Mm-hmm. That makes real good sense. And I think that's, I think that's a really good business decision, honestly.
Yeah, no, and I'm very excited just to experience that. It's, again, certain parts of it will definitely be difficult, like fighting. If you're gonna, some of those fights are back to back to back, so you'll have to train your change or change your training around it,
right,
so that you cannot get injured. You have to be a little bit more careful, but we'll see how that goes.
Will it, let's see, will it be more, I don't want to say family friendly, but will you be able to have family members come? And I know with COVID, it was kind of crazy trying to get family members to be able to go to fights. I mean, is it, I guess all that has yet to be determined, but overall, it sounds like a really good deal.
It does, yes. And so far, the people that I've dealt with, they've been amazing, and they've treated me extremely well. Like, I don't think I'm going to have any problem bringing my family there, or if I doubt I'll get told that, no, we don't have any tickets.
Right, right. I mean, Madison Square Garden, I mean, that'll be your first fight, right, in Madison Square Garden?
Yes, I've fought in New York before. It was Rochester, but I've never fought in Madison Square Garden, and that's pretty much a fighter's dream. Like, I heard that, and I was like in disbelief.
I know, man. MSG, Thanksgiving weekend, right? Your debut against I would say a formidable opponent to say.
Very much so. Yeah. I think they pretty much went out and found me. Like she was already on the card, but if they were going to go find an opponent, that's the toughest 45er they could have found for it. It's fantastic.
Bro, I was going to say welcome to the league. I'm like, holy smokes, I was like, holy cow, this is, but you know what? I think, guys like me or fans like me will, certainly appreciate that, the level of contest that's going to avail itself that weekend.
And I was excited for it because I knew exactly who she was. It's like, fantastic. We're starting off strong.
Bro, for real. Yeah, it definitely is going to be strong there. So I like that. And that's real good. There's the other structure. What are some other elements to that franchise? Is the social media the same or different? Branding same or different? Any other kind of general public highlights that differ that franchise from others?
I'm going to get through the fight to really answer that fully, but the big thing with them is they do allow sponsors, and that's something with the UFC, you're allowed to represent two sponsors during the fight, and the UFC vetoed that a long time ago. And just the ability to make money and go outside and really do things for yourself is vastly increased in this organization.
I like that because I have had your media kit with the top and the bottom and what was.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little. How many different spots are? Let's talk about the sponsorship aspect, because quite frankly, there's going to be some folks that want to, because they just don't know how that works with PFL, and they'd be very interested. Hello. How's it going, Masya?
Hi, baby. I know.
How many different people can sponsor you at one time in terms of visibility? Yeah.
So as far as on my everything, I'm allowed to represent two sponsors.
Okay.
And they have built-in ones with the company too, and I have to get everything approved.
Right.
But this is what I understand so far. And obviously I could represent anybody at any time leading up to the fight and the fight week. But as far as wearing it into the arena, only two.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go out, experience it, see exactly what their criteria is for everything. But it's very, very open and easy so far. And it's exciting.
That's great. And I understand, is Honda still with you? Or is Honda still part of your sponsorship or kit? Oh, I think she froze again. Anyway. Hey, Shayla.
Hi. Sorry, a little technical issues.
Yep. She's still right now, but she'll come back. So are you going to the fight, man? Are you going to go to New York? Will you be able to go, or you don't know yet?
Now, for this one, I think I'm going to be staying at home and taking care of her canines there.
Right. She's got I know one passed away.
Not with her dogs.
Yeah. So how many does she have left? I know one passed away last year, 2 years ago, but still have two or three? Okay. How many different dogs do you have to take care of, Shayla?
My sister currently just has two, but then two. Throw in mine because I'll be out there with them. So
okay. All right. Well, no, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, it's family. Stay back, hold down the fort while she's fighting. So tell us about your practice schedule. How many nights a week do you have to practice and train?
I train 5 days a week, every day after practice or every day after work, for at least two training sessions usually. And on Fridays, I'll train in the morning before work as well. And then Saturday, I'll usually do a private mitt session with my striking coach, Tom Fallon.
Okay. So that's sounds like it's kind of like a full-time job you're training. Well, which is good.
Yep.
All right. And so when is your next scheduled fight? When are you next scheduled to fight again?
It's kind of tossed up in the air right now between November 19th and December 10th. Okay. I'm on both of the cards, but the matchmakers are having a little trouble finding me people to fight right now.
What league or what championship series is it for November 19th?
The November 19th is the King of the Cage show in Reno.
Okay.
And the December 10th card is the WFC fighting league for that will be at Tahoe.
Okay. Now, have you fought those before, or it seems like you fought the King of the Cage one before, no? Or
yes, I fought for both of those organizations. This would be my second time at King of the Cage if I fight there, and third time at WFC.
Okay. So on the King of the Cage, did you say they're having a problem finding an opponent for you? What was going on with that?
It's just the usual issues finding the just negotiating with good people that want to fight. As you'll have, they have an issue with doing it.
Right.
But it's.
You know, because obviously you go to these matches and these tournaments and these fights, and you probably know who your competitors are, I would think, or many of them. Do you ever have the opportunity not to call somebody out, but to say, hey, you know, if we're all kind of deciding, I'd like to maybe fight this guy or that guy. Are you able to have a voice in that?
I haven't really called anyone out yet. I've worked my way up the chain as far as the rankings have gone for the West Coast.
Right.
I would love to get a fight with AJ Perez, but I was scheduled with him for this last one, but something happened.
So you think AJ Perez is a guy like yourself, kind of an accomplished young fighter, kind of in the same station as you, kind of thing?
I would love to get a fight with him because me and him have been bouncing back and forth between the number one spot on the West Coast. So I'd love to get a fight with him and have it determined.
Now, did you have to fight him to get one of the belts that you have now, or no?
No, I didn't end up fighting him for the. So we were scheduled to fight for that card, but about I think 3 weeks before he had some issues going on. Not entirely sure what they were, but we weren't able to get that fight in.
Okay, so you could fight him at either one of those, Reno or the other one, possibly.
I'll fight him wherever. I'd love to get that one going.
As an opponent of yours, is he maybe a little bit more down the road on the BJ or jiu-jitsu, or how do y'all complement, or how do you and Perez differ in terms of style?
From what I've been able to figure out, he's kind of a bit more of the wrestler and wants to kind of throw heavy up top.
Wow. Okay.
But there's not a whole bunch of videos that I was able to find on him.
I see. So that's interesting because that's your forte also is wrestling, right?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So that's kind of cool because that really is a nice match, right? I mean,
yeah, no, I love testing everything I got. Like my last opponent for the two belts, he's a phenomenal wrestler and he made me work a lot
right.
to get it in.
Is that the one where you kind of had a rough time the first round?
Yes. It was a very high-paced match that first round, and he was really good with his transitions from wrestling to jiu-jitsu.
Walk us through what you did in the following rounds to kind of get around him and to get through him.
So it was that after that first round, it was a difference in cardio definitely came in.
Okay.
And then after that, he wanted to focus and get down to the ground quick. So he came in and tried to take a single leg takedown, but I was able to throw him with a overhook. And from there, it was just shutting down his movement so I could stay on top and control positions.
and that just wore him down.
So starting on the second round, he was kind of gassed with his cardio, or was it a little bit later on that he got his cardio started slipping?
I'd say he definitely came out really strong and blew a lot of it in that first round, but he still came out hard for that second round. But once we got on the ground, I was able to stay on top, and that just tires people out.
Right. Right.
Switching to positions to definitely drain.
Yeah, we saw some of this last weekend, some fighting. Yeah, people, you're just on top. You're just wearing that guy, just wearing him down. Was he one of those fighters that's used to these kind of first-round finishes, kind of a big guy, used to take his opponent pretty quick? Or
yes. So out of his fights, he's had a few of them go the distance, but he's also got people first-round submissions within, like, a minute.
Yeah.
His grappling's real – it was really high level, so he's a good skilled opponent.
No, make no mistake. I'm sure he was a good skilled opponent, but I love hearing about the differences, right? The fact that you were able to you're able to weather that storm on the first round to bust his cardio a bit and then just kind of stay, stick on him, avoid those single leg takedowns, stay on top, wear him down, and get the win, man. A win's a win, you know what I mean? So
yes, sir.
I love hearing that, man. And you've seen it probably in other, UFC fighters, guys used to being a first round knockout person, and the stats would be like, yeah, man, this guy rarely goes to the second round, and here we go, right? The guy doesn't win the first round, and man, you can just kind of tell sometimes these guys are out of their element on the second round, right? Like, oh man, I didn't win. Oh crap. what's left in the tank, right?
Right.
And then here you go. So that sounds like a great victory for you. Now, was that the 5150 the belt you had, or is that another one?
That was the 5150 and the state were piled in for that one.
Okay. So it was kind of together.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Gotcha. I didn't know if they were two separate or what have you. So, well, good. Now, a few minutes ago, we talked about, here you are 19 years old, about the same age as Aspen was when she went pro, had some feedback there. Are you itching to go pro, or you think like, I'm cool. I can wait a little while. What are your thoughts?
I'm cool waiting where I am, but there's always I just want to build as much experience as I can right now.
So I guess during COVID, she was saying that you lost some time. You weren't able to maybe get some fights in 2020, 2021 because of COVID. Like which things do you think you missed, or what are you having to make up for, you think? Just a sheer...
Sheer amount of fights going on at the time. There just wasn't anything going on in any of the states around us. We were going down to the first fight that me and any of my team were going on was halfway through that year, and it was in Utah because everywhere else still had their fight restrictions up because of the COVID.
Right. So how many different states would you have fought in? California, Utah, anywhere else you think, or?
I would have gone probably, that's hard to really say there,
it's
but
okay.
As far as I would have gone, like up any of the states near here, I would have fought in as long as I could have gotten the fight.
Exactly. No, I got you, man. If you can get in there, you're going to get in there. So I'm just curious about how many fights were you not able to participate in because of COVID-19? How many fights did you have to forego? Ish.
Well, right now I think there's an averaging of a couple of fights going on per month out of organizations.
Oh wow.
But during COVID it was no fight organization was able to have anything for well over 6 months there. So I probably missed at least 3-4 fights.
Okay. Okay. I was thinking 12, even if it was two a month, two times six is 12, but at least, so it wasn't that many. It was just more.
Yeah. Sick. It's just a little bit, because it slowed down the process on everything going forward.
Okay. And what are some of the leagues that are open now that maybe weren't open, or the contests that are open now that maybe weren't open in Aspen's day, if you will, years ago?
The ones that weren't open in Aspen's day, I would say A1 is a new organization that's definitely come out.
That's right.
And the 5150, I don't believe it was out when Aspen was around either. It's that was its ninth time having a show.
Okay. Yeah, my memory, I don't know, 5150 has been around. It's been around a while, but you're right. It's been a while, and A1. Is A1 based out of California, or where are they out of?
Yes, sir. They're based out of California with Uriah Faber.
Oh, of course. Just testing you. No, I forgot about that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, that's, man, talk about, right? Talk about some great exposure there as well. To be in that league, and man, like you said, I think, you know, you're getting the exposure. Just keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to ascend to the professional ranks here soon. You know what I mean? When you're obviously when you're ready, but super soon. I'm just really, you know, it's, you're such a nice guy. You know what I mean? And you're not, you know what I mean? You know how some fighters their temperament's a little.
Yes,
and you're kind of a fellow guy. I appreciate about that when I met you before, and it's so nice to see just kind of a good solid, you know, good solid guy in the fight game, right? That kind of has a passion for it, and just, I don't want to say doing everything right, but you're pretty much doing everything right. I mean, by my estimation, so that's really good. Well, what advice do you have for some people, maybe in their eighth or ninth graders, or their high schoolers, or, you know, and they're thinking about going into MMA? What are your thoughts? How would you encourage kids to get into the sport? What are your thoughts?
As far as that go, I'd say they'd just be finding the specific one that they enjoy. Like, a lot of high schoolers, they do wrestling. If they enjoy that, might as well continue it. And then you just expand upon that skill.
Okay. So find a kind of a core form, whether it be karate, Stephen Thompson, Wonder Boy. I just love seeing Wonder Boy fight. He's sideways and just, wow, that just not, and that's how kind of, I did some of that coming up, and that nice old school sideways karate. That's nice. Yourself, right? You would kind of, your core was wrestling, I would assume, right?
So my wrestling became my core later on. I started, karate and then into kickboxing.
That's
after
right.
That.
I'm sorry. You started the black belt in karate. So like, so you did, how long were you in kickboxing?
From the point I probably 13 to about now currently.
Yeah, oh, glory kickboxing. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, good stuff, man. Really, really good stuff. So, yeah, so find some, like you said, find one or two and then augment on that and build from that. You know, I've seen guys starting kickboxing, let's say, right? Kickboxing or karate. And then they try to take on wrestling later, and you find out real quick, right? if you can hang in there with wrestling, because it isn't for everybody, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or you have to, you know, but you need to learn it. You need to be in there to some regard. But I think some of these guys that are, you know, all this other stuff, and they get into that, and like, oh, you know, it's foreign territory, and there's a learning curve for some of these folks, but not necessarily for you. So, well, good, man. Oh, So any other, I guess I've got a couple of other things. What, tell me like two of the great things about being an MMA and what are two big challenges you have about being an MMA?
The two big challenges I would say would probably be maintaining weight cuts would be one of them. And the other would be just, you kind of sacrifice a lot of time for it. Across all boards, but as far as it, what I enjoy about it, I've always, it's just peaceful for me at this point. Like being there training, it's a happy place.
No, man, that's what it's all about, man. It makes you happy. It's a peaceful place for you. If you're happy place, then brother, that's more than sufficient, more than enough. But yeah, like you said, some of the things with the territory, the weight cuts, and later on, you know, you're going to be on the road, you know what I mean? You're going to be on the road. So, and that's going to have its, some of its challenges as well, but, great, man. I think that's, you know, you're off to a really good start, you know, seems like, I love those pictures that Jim takes of you guys after class sometimes, right? You know, line up and kind of tell our listeners who are some of the folks that you train with that they may have heard of or they'll hear of.
One of the main people I'll train with is Anthony Hernandez. He's in the UFC right now. He's doing really well.
Yeah, he is. Anthony's doing really well. Okay. And is Max with you guys or not?
Yes. Max is in there about 3 days of the week he's able to come down and train here, and the rest of the week he's off training at Uriah Faber's and other places.
Max
as well.
That's right, Max Payne Griffin. So he's there, and then now Fluffy's the same as Hernandez, right?
Yes, yeah. Fluffy.
Harvey, keep track of these. Yeah, because I know about Fluffy. So anyhow, we're really good, man. Look, I really appreciate you and of course Aspen coming on the show today. It means a lot. And man, you're just a fine young man, a great ambassador for the sport. Look forward to seeing your fights, being a fan. I'd love to have you come back on the show here once you cross be a pro, maybe come back and say hello to us here. Because, I've been telling everybody that I know, about what I think your future has to hold, and also real excited for your sister's career. She transitions into Professional Fighters League and all that that has to offer, not only us as fans, but for her and her career professionally and financially. So, and I'm sure you'll find your own path when it's your time. So, well, thanks for coming on the show today, Shaylor, man. Good.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And Shaylor, how can folks, tell us some of the social platform that our folks can reach you or follow you?
Currently I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and those are my main platforms for media.
Okay. And it's Shaylor Ladd. Is it Shaylor Ladd MMA? You have a Shaylor Ladd and a Shaylor Ladd MMA on.
So my personal account is Shaylor Ladd MMA.
Right.
Or I mean, no, not Shaylor Ladd MMA, just Shaylor Ladd.
Okay.
That Shaylor MMA account is one that we set up separately as kind of more of a for sponsorship type of things.
No, man.
But out of everything, my main account's kind of what gets used.
Yes, sir. Gotcha. Well, folks, there it is. Another fantastic show on the Concierge Coaches Show today. Don't forget to see us on Apple, and you'll be able to see yourself on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, iHeartMedia, and I think Audible, and several other platforms that this show has aired on. So please feel free to tune in on this. And Shaylor, I'll get you and Aspen some links to the MP4 and the links to the show of today, so you'll be able to have those for your own media kits and everything. So great. Well, there it is. And folks, I can be reached at conscientiouscoach.net. We're on Facebook at Concierge Coaches Show and Instagram at Concierge_Coaches. So with that, we'll say Bon voyage. Have a great week. Thanks, Shayla, for coming out, brother.
Good to meet you. Thank you for having me.
Again. And we'll see y'all next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.